Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results again are good. A Brewers 5-0 shutout victory over the Kansas City Royals in game two of this three-game set. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, Sam Schmitz alongside tonight as the Brewers and Ryan Braun and Burns, Braun and the Brewers. They get it done tonight. And I don't care who the opponent is. It could be Greenfield Little League up the road here. It doesn't matter. The win counts. And the Brewers back to just one game under 500. That really isn't the big number now. I think you throw those numbers away a little bit. It's nice, yeah, to get back to a chance to get at 500 with a win tomorrow and a sweep over the Royals. But it is all about the playoff race, the playoff chase. And the Brewers just day by day doing their thing. A three-game winning streak for the Brewers in which their pitching has only given up five runs in those three games. So the pitching's starting to step up, and the opportunistic offense really stepped up today. That's for sure. They were on the verge of getting one hit heading into the eighth inning. And the one hit didn't even score the run. The run scored heading into that bottom of the eighth inning. It was a 1-0 Brewers lead. The run scored on an error. And you wonder if that was going to be the goofy nature of this baseball game tonight, that the Brewers get a run, they get a gift run, and it sits there and it holds. Well, we found out that that wasn't the case. And we found out that Ryan Braun has major impact in these baseball games almost each and every time he's in there. If there's another hitter that's as hot as Ryan Braun right now, someone's got to name him, because it just seems like he is saying, throw everything on my shoulders. I'll carry this thing in September again. I mean, the dude is so clutch. Again, being in there and the bad back and the whole deal, there's not much more you can say about the clutch gene that is just built into Ryan Braun. And it's truly amazing. And we have to have a conversation about one Corbin Burns, because, Sam, I'm going to tell you something. This dude is in the conversation now. Is he going to get two more starts? I think he is. He probably will if they move him up one time. Is that the way the math figures with now nine games remaining?
Yeah, and as far as I see, it's pretty much between him, Trevor Bauer, and Yu Darvish, and that's it.
I think it's those three. Now, Corbin Burns' ERA now 1.77. 1.77. Now, this is through 11 appearances. Eight of those appearances starts. He is just amazing. And that cutter, I'll tell you what, we've seen some wipeout pitches, and the Brewers do have two pitchers with them. They're different pitches. Devin Williams, more on that in a bit, has the changeup. That's wipeout. But this cutter that Corbin Burns implements here is sinister. I mean, it is something to behold. And, wow, put that dude up in a playoff game. Put that dude into one of the first two games of a playoff game. Woody and Burns, team control, ascending pitchers, for this organization. Man, it is something to behold. And finally, some homegrown pitching talent for this Brewers organization. It shined through tonight for sure with Corbin Burns. 414-799-1250. Now just 9 games left in the 2020 championship season. And Brewer fever starting to catch on just a little bit. Just a little bit. You're seeing and hearing a little bit more about the Brewers situation. I will say this, that talked to a buddy of mine earlier today, and allegedly a baseball fan, a Cardinals fan. Allegedly a baseball fan. He's like, well, the Brewers having a rough season, and you know, you'll be done. You'll be done with work next Sunday, right? Doesn't the season end next Sunday? And I said, whoa, hold on a second here. I think the scattered nature of this season has confused a lot of baseball fans. It's confused a lot of Brewers fans. It really has. It's so, I won't say, I guess for lack of another term, it's abnormal. Because you see the standings and you see them sitting there in fourth place heading into today's action. And you're like, they don't stand a chance here. What? No, they're right in the thick of this thing here. All right, let's get through our game recap here as the Brewers get a 5-0 victory over the Kansas City Royals. Corbin, three down, a couple of strikeouts in that first inning. You knew he was on right then and there. Brewers empty in the first and zero again for Burns in that second inning. A leadoff walk by the Brewers in the bottom of the second, erased on a double play. Burns in and out of trouble a little bit in that third inning. There was an errant pickoff throw in that inning, but another zero. 6 punchouts through the 3 scoreless for Burns early on in that one. The Brewers break through in the bottom of the third with 1 out. I'm going to call this, guys, believe it or not, I'm going to call this the Great Lakes Dragway turning point with the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Track rental and event information at greatlakesdragway.com. With 1 out in the bottom of the third, that was a 9-pitch walk by Luis Urias. And I know that, you know, you want 3-run homers, you want grand slams, you want, you know, Yelly doing his thing. That was huge because Bubic was in cruise control there heading into that third inning with 1 out. Pitch count super low, but Urias, a 9-pitch walk, and it proved to be big in this one. Nottingham then falls behind 0-2. He works a walk after being down 0-2, 2 on, 1 out, and Avisail Garcia hits what we all thought was going to be a double play ground ball. Not the case. Check it out.
Ground ball is double play ball to second. Throw to first is offline, off the facing of the dugout, and Urias is going to score.
All right, how about that? Yeah, big collision between Mondesi and Lopez at second base, disrupted the throw. And the Brewers able to scratch out a run, so they have a run on the board, and they have no hits.
Yeah, they've got no hits on the board through those 3 innings, but a 1-0 lead. And Sam, we were talking off the air during the On Deck show. I said, yeah, I sense something goofy is going to happen tonight. For a while there, Sam, I thought they were going to win a game in which they were no hit.
I did too. I mean, it looked like give Kansas City's starter credit. I mean, he was going pitch for pitch with Corbin tonight. So honestly, I was expecting, you know, no more than maybe a couple other hits, and that was it.
Yeah, and so they have the lead heading into the fourth. As they do have the 1-0 lead, Corbin Burns doing his thing, setting them up, knocking them down scoreless. Through that fourth inning, 7 strikeouts through the 4 innings. In the bottom of the fourth inning, the Brewers finally get their first hit. Base hit by Jerko. There you go. A little base hit now, kid. But they don't score. It's 1-0 into the fifth. Both teams scoreless in that fifth inning. Burns, 8 strikeouts through the 5 into the sixth inning. 1-0. Make it 9 strikeouts for Corbin. 6 scoreless as his day is done on 4 hits, the no runs, no walks, and 9 strikeouts, 100 pitches on the performance tonight. A sparkling ERA of 1.77 for Burns after this performance tonight. Brewers in the bottom of the sixth inning. Empty. Yelich had a 1-out walk, but nothing doing there. Bubic out. Matheny goes to Jesse Hahn there, And he induces Bronny into a double play right there to end the frame. Into the seventh inning. And Devin Williams coming on for the seventh inning. Think about this, guys. Devin Williams has an opportunity this year to potentially be it. I'm not sure if he qualifies for the Rookie of the Year. I'm going to guess yes.
He does.
Oh, he does. Okay, Sam verifies that. All right, so he has an opportunity, Sam, did you realize this, to be Rookie of the Year and the National League Reliever of the Year?
I love it.
I mean, come on. The dude is outstanding. It's 1-2-3 in the seventh with a couple of strikeouts. And, you know, it was just huge. Check this out from Devin Williams.
So good. You know it's coming. You still can't hit it. Two strikeouts and a flawless seventh for Devin Williams. The confidence, the action, a thing of beauty.
I don't know if I could really put like a figure on it, but it's just like a feeling, a mentality that you have when you're at that level. And it's just every time I take them out, it doesn't matter who's in the box. I feel like I've got something that I can throw them and get them out every time. So
yeah.
Just to continue attacking guys, and it's been working out for me pretty well.
Oh, it sure has. There's Devin Williams prior to the game today. The confidence, the action. A thing of beauty, as Jeff Levering, you just heard that on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Into the bottom of the seventh inning, Brewers offense. What else? 1-2-3. Just that one hit through seven innings of offense. Devin back out there for the second inning of work. And his night's performance, couple of more strikeouts, one zip to the bottom of the eighth. Let's get an update on Devin Williams' earned run average thus far this year, Sam, because he has been just something short of amazing. And maybe the Trevor Hoffman Award stays in Milwaukee for the third consecutive year. Josh Hader, National League Reliever of the Year the last couple of years, and it could very well, and maybe should be, Devin Williams.
It's unfair, man. His ERA after tonight's performance,
0.39. I mean, you can't... You just can't hardly do any better than that right there. The Brewers, however, offensively, bottom of the eighth inning, they break this thing open. It was a base hit by Orlando Arcia to start the inning off. Urias then strikes out. Arcia then, on a steal attempt, they throw it away. He's over to third with just that one out. And we want that run in, right? Get the ball in play. Get a little cushion here. Josh Hader up in the pen to pitch the ninth. Well, instead of a sack fly, Jacob Nottingham did just a little bit better than that.
Line shot, right center, base hit. Nottingham delivers again. Takes the turn, the throw to second, not in time. RBI double, Jacob Nottingham.
Oh, he's come up big, not only catching really well, but coming up with some big hits. That's a huge one. That was a slider that time from Barlow that was right down the middle.
Yeah, Jacob Nottingham, we talked about him a little bit last night after the Grand Slam. It was, he's starting to get a little clutch in him, too. It looks like Jacob Nottingham is fitting in really good with this group of players here in 2020, that's for sure. All right, that RBI double makes it 2-0 in the eighth. The inning continues. A ground out by Garcia. They intentionally walk Christian Yelich to get to one of the hottest, if not the hottest hitter, in the National League. And his name is Ryan Braun. Check it out.
And there's a drive to the left field. This is hit well. And it's gone! Ryan Braun! A two-run home run! The Brewers take the lead!
No, I think we played the wrong bottom of the eighth highlight at Miller Park.
Did we? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I think we hit the wrong button there, Sam. That was this dude, since that day. You go back to 2008. This bottom of the eighth inning at Miller Park is something special for Ryan Braun. It really is. And it's not just, you know, tonight. It's not just back in 08. It's a ton of clutch hits in the bottom of eighth innings at home here in Milwaukee for Ryan Braun. But that was fun. That brought back some memories. But let's go to tonight. Fast forward into the time warp. Two on for Ryan Braun, eighth inning.
Fly ball left center by Braun. Has he done it again? You bet. Three-run shot, Ryan Braun. He's open.
And that made the score 5-0. Bronny comes through again. Another reason why this dude needs to be in this lineup. Sometimes you got to play through a little pain, and it looks like he's doing that. Raise your hand if you really thought that Ryan Braun was going to be in this baseball game today. I would have bet against it. I would have put money on it that after leaving the game yesterday to the back issue, I would have said no way he was in this lineup today. He was as the DH, and it paid off in the eighth, giving the Brewers a little wiggle room because you were nervous with Josh Hader warming up hot and ready for that ninth inning. No wiggle room heading into the eighth inning, but they put up the crooked number. Four-run eighth inning makes it 5-0 into the ninth inning. Drew Rasmussen shuts it down in the ninth inning. I thought that was maybe a slight mistake for Council. And I know in a 5-0 playoff chase victory, it's tough to shoot holes through it. But I will say that. That should have been Ray Black right there with a 5-run cushion. And this is based on my opinion of Drew Rasmussen. I think it would have been nice to have Rasmussen and Hader filling three innings total tomorrow if you got to that point with a lead through six. But that's splitting hairs a little bit, possibly. Brewers get the victory. They run their mark to 25-26. That's three consecutive wins for the second time this year, matching their winning streak. And it's a 25-26 mark. That means one game, and they're back to even. They get the sweep over the Kansas City Royals, and they go back at their final Monday through Sunday week with eight games, and that will determine the 2020 season. Wow. 799-1250. I don't even know what to say about Bronny in the month of September. Not only this year, but in years past. When you talk about, talking the talk. Yeah, get on my shoulders. I'll carry you, man. Treat this like, you've never been there before, and treat this like it's how tough. He said this a couple of years ago. It's very difficult to be in these situations. Hey, Braun's been a Brewer forever. We know that, baseball in September sometimes has been mail it in Milwaukee. But when Bronny gets there in September, he says, jump aboard, man. Let's do this thing. And he walks the walk. And it's just amazing. Brewers get the victory. I don't know which is the better conversation, Sam, tonight. Is it Corbin Burns? Is it Devin Williams? Or is it Ryan Braun?
Oh, man. I still think it's Corbin, but you got to be feeling pretty good heading into the final stretch of the season the way Ryan Braun's been playing.
The offense has been playing better and better. They've been putting things together. It might have been a little slow going, but they are putting things together. I think they're starting to gel just a little bit. You know who's coming up a little bit empty and we're ready for a hot streak? And that's Avisail Garcia. He's ready to bust out as well. 799-1250. Let's get one in here before we hit our break. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. What's up?
Well, I'm just saying, don't always the Brewers, come through it, the very end? Like, give us, that last jolt of hope.
Yes. But that's a good thing. Right? All right, Nick, thanks for the call. That's a really good thing. Would you rather have it that way, or would you rather have it the other way, and your season is over in August? Relevant baseball in September. It's such a thing of beauty. It really is. I could get used to this, and we are used to this now. 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. All of these games matter in September. That's such a cool thing. That's what sports does to you. It gets you wrapped in emotionally. It's supposed to do that. That's what it's all about. I don't look at that as a bad thing. Yeah, there's only one game, one team that wins their final game and wins it all. There's only one of those. And look at it that way. I mean, this is really cool stuff that they're in this thing. Coming into today's action, after the break here, I do want to get to just an update a little bit earlier on the scoreboard, Sam, if we could, because that's what we do. We watch the scoreboards here. What did the Reds do? Brewers into action tonight, game and a half behind Cincinnati. They've got three against Cincinnati starting Monday. What did the Cardinals do? Brewers entering action today, game and a half behind the Cardinals. What did the Cardinals do today? We'll find out. They've got five games left starting Thursday against the St. Louis Cardinals. Hold and serve here through this Kansas City Royals series. Don't care if you deem the Royals as a bad team. Doesn't matter right now. Really doesn't. 5-0, Brewers get the win. Burns, Braun, and Devin Williams. Those are the three topics of conversation tonight. Tim Allen, Sam Schmitz, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
So good, you know it's coming, you still can't hit it. Two strikeouts and a flawless seventh for Devin Williams. The confidence, the action, a thing of beauty.
I don't know if I could really put like a figure on it, but it's just like a feeling, a mentality that you have when you're at that level. And it's just every time I take them out, it doesn't matter who's in the box, I feel like I've got something that I can throw them and get them out every time. So just to continue attacking guys, and it's been working out for me pretty well.
There's Devin Williams, and that's your Are You Kidding Me moment of the game with Gene Wagner Plumbing. You can't hit that thing. That thing is filthy. And he just may be the National League reliever of the year. He might be .39 on the earned run average. Brewers win tonight, 5-0. Real quick, before we get to the call, Sam, just a quick peek at the scoreboard. We'll get some more details on these games, but what did the Cards, Cubs, and Reds do?
We got some pretty good news. I'm going to start off with the Cincinnati Reds tonight. They get shut out by the Chicago White Sox, 5-0 the final.
There you go.
Hey, this might work out in Corbin Burns' Cy Young candidate. Trevor Bauer gets the loss tonight. He is now 4-4. His ERA now up to 1.8.
So Burns beats him on the win-loss, the decision marker, 4-0 to now, what'd you say he was, 4-4 to Bauer. And now he's got a better ERA. Just saying. You never know.
You never know.
I know. What the Cardinals do?
Cardinals won today 5-4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, pretty much back and forth, but they exploded for a 5-run seventh inning.
Oh, man. Okay. And the Cubs, they lose, or losing, right?
Yep. Currently still in progress, top of the seventh in Chicago against the Minnesota Twins. Twins are winning as of now, 6-1.
All right, Braun, a big three-run bomb in the bottom of the eighth inning. We accidentally played a huge bottom of the eighth inning home run in 2008 as the highlight tonight. Just saying, we can never hear that enough against the Chicago Cubs. But Burns, Braun, Williams, those are the discussions on the table here tonight. 414-799-1250. Let's go to Mike in Greenfield. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, Grandpa Mike is trying to stay calm. Man, guys are starting to hit. Your guy, Ryan Braun, man, I guess he wanted to play and Council wanted to use him. You know, when he went out yesterday, I'm sure we were all a little nervous. Well, one thing I'm going to try not to do, I'm going to not stay on too long. The pitching is unbelievable, and you're starting to feel like you know, you've been all saying that, you know, Braun has to play and Council wants these games. But when Yelich was sliding in to the bag, I forget if he was going back or not. I'm starting to think, and I don't want to think doomsday like that, but it's like with Molitor. This guy played 110%. Everybody said he was a soft player because he was injured a lot because he played so hard and he was tough. And he gave his all. But anyhow, great game. And
you bet.
They're going to win the series, I tell you.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for the call. 9 to play here thus far. Brawny, a lot has been said. And I know on this show, And I've been very vocal about the Ryan Braun situation. You guys know that. Those of you that are regular listeners, you know full well. Not only on this show, but on the On Deck show and on, you know, my appearances with the boys on the other shows throughout the day here on The Fan. Dude needs to play. We see the impact that he has when he plays. I am shocked he was in that lineup tonight. I really am. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, his back isn't legit. Of course it is. But if you can play at this time, and it, even if you're 80%, this offense has been bad the majority of the year. Even a 72% Ryan Braun is still going to help this baseball team win some baseball games. Listening online on the radio.com app and felt the need to pick up the phone and dial 799-1250 to Ohio. We say hello to Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, bud? This is exciting. Let's just keep this going. Pitching's going good. Hitting will come around, and it is. Let's just beat the Reds, beat the Cardinals. Cubs, I don't know if we can catch them. Let's just go. Yeah, let's have fun.
You might as well, and I think that's what the team is doing. Just we might as well play the string out. We're here anyway. Now the
exactly.
News to which do you think it's more appropriate to talk about Burns or Braun on this show?
I would say Burns.
Okay,
because the pitching is so good.
Pitching, he's amazing, man. All right, thanks for the call. I was texting back and forth. I don't know if you guys are aware, Josh Vernier does pregame and postgame. Same thing I do for our station in Kansas City. Former colleague of ours here. And was texting back and forth with him during the game. And he said, I didn't know much about Corbin Burns. And rightly so. It's, you know, he covers the Kansas City Royals. It's like me asking about the third or fourth in the rotation of, you know, the Tampa Rays or something. Yeah, I know a little bit, but not too much. Him and his colleagues were taking a look at Corbin Burns and the performance. This was kind of their first real look at a Corbin Burns. And they are just stunned by the ability and the makeup of Burns. I mean, two-seam, four-seam, the slider when it's on, I think that still is a little bit more on the development side of things. But when it's on, it's going to be a big pitch for him. Threw a couple of curveballs tonight. The changeup is there, and then that sinister. I love it. That cutter is going to make Corbin Burns a lot of money on a personal side. It just is. He goes six scoreless tonight, and now is 4-0 through 11 appearances, eight of those starts, and he has an ERA of 1.77. Just outstanding. 100-pitch performance. I think if there's anything to be said about Burns, it's a little bit more on the pitch efficiency side of things. I mean, six is good. Don't get me wrong. And six scoreless is even better. But the pitch efficiency side of things is maybe one of the next steps that he's got to do. So he can get, you know, into the seventh inning and maybe a little bit beyond on a little more consistent basis. You're not going to go 7-8 innings every time out, but maybe that is the next step for him. 414-799-1250. Let's go to St. Francis. We say hello to Nick. Nick, you're on The Fan. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good.
Good. Well, obviously, it's like with this whole year of like 2020, how do you guys project guys to do when it's only, you know, like the 10 starts or the 60 starts or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like such an odd year.
Yes, it is. All right, Nick, thanks. Oh, boy. It is Saturday night, though. I mean, I will say that, Sam. It is Saturday. I've been where Nick is, and a lot of you guys are. In fact, I'll probably be there tomorrow night. I'll be right with you. Wow. Okay, let's go to Mike. Mike, you're next on The Fan.
Tim, I've been there too, buddy.
You and I, haven't we all?
Now, I'm going to save my Ryan Braun comment for last because I don't want you to hang up on me.
Okay.
Like yesterday. If I said to you before the season, no COVID, regular season, Justin Herta, Corbin Burns, all-stars, and I love me the Williams guy, Devin, you would have said Yelich hater, right?
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of talent on this team, I'm telling you.
There is a foundation of talent. There is a foundation to build around, yes.
And we had kind of fun. My best friend's nephew is Ryan O'Hearn. We were kind of rooting for him, but we didn't want him to beat us. And now we're getting to Braun now. Mm-hmm. He will not be back next year. You cannot pay a guy. Is he still under contract next year?
Yeah, it's a mutual option on both sides. So they both have to agree to bring him back, and there's a $4 million buyout.
So they'd have to give him $4 million to get rid of him?
To get rid of him, they got to pay him $4 million. To keep him, they got to pay him $15 million.
Oh, my God.
Did we lose him?
Is he worth it for one?
For
September.
Is he worth the September runs? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, it's $15 million for September.
Yeah.
All right, Tim. Thanks.
All right, take it easy, Mike. That's an interesting point. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that my blood pressure can handle rolling through a 162 with Ryan Braun again. If it helps him win, I guess I'll deal with it. But to go through this again, could you imagine this was a 60-gamer? In and out and, you know, injuries here and there. I don't know. I just don't. I don't want to see him go. Now, tomorrow could be his last game at Miller Park. And think of it that way. It's a shame. It is a shame that a Brewers legend, and he is, would have to leave Miller Park, you know, to an empty stadium. That is a shame. It really is. Now, I mean, there's worse things that people go through. I understand that, but we're on the baseball conversation. I would hate to have him leave like that. Maybe if the DH stays, do you consider it? If the DH is implemented again next year, do you consider that? Maybe you do. Look what he's doing here. I mean, it's not just the production on the number side of things. It really is the contagious kind of feel of a playoff race, a pennant race here. That is contagious to a lot of young kids like that. Think about the education some of these teammates are getting from Ryan Braun, that long after he's gone, that they may just take a look back and you know, be guided by what Ryan Braun is doing right now and what he did last year and the year before in the final stretch. Late for a break, but let me squeeze in Adam here. Adam, you're on the Fan. What's going on? Delay, delay, delay. There we go. Adam, now he's going to grab his phone.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
Hello, Adam. All right, you're going to have to turn that radio off. Bye. So, geez, you can tell it's something in the air tonight, Sam.
Well, I mean, I can't blame it. We got Brewers September baseball.
We do, and it's relevant baseball, and it is. Think back of where this organization came from, and I'm not going to celebrate the World Series tonight. I'm just going to point out the facts here. And the facts are, in September, for the most part, we've been without this type of baseball. Baseball games that mean something. Since Craig Counsell took over, he took over in 15, and there was the restructure in 15 and 16. Starting in September, we have not seen but one game that hasn't mattered yet, guys. One single game. Think about that. Think about the 26-year playoff drought of how many insignificant games there were in Milwaukee under Brewers baseball. Let's see. Significant games. Ooh, boy, that's a lot. Since 2017's opening day, every single game has meant something. You're in a race every single game. 162 in 17, 162, well, 161 in 17. That was the one game, the final game of the year. 161 in 17, 162 in 18, 162 in 19, and all of these games thus far here in 20. Every single game but one in four seasons. I like that habit to be in. If you're gonna start a habit, quit biting your nails and start this habit of Brewers baseball being relevant every single game all year long. All right, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. We'll hear from Corbin Burnes, I would imagine. Brawny, a three-run shot, bottom of the eighth. But that's really not the highlight tonight. The highlight is Corbin Burnes, six scoreless, and dare I say, a legit shot at a potential Cy Young here in Milwaukee, and a homegrown drafted by the Brewers on top of that. Also, Devin Williams, two scoreless again. His ERA, 0.39. Wow. Three straight victories for the Brewers. They're one under 500. More importantly, they jump just a half game behind the Reds, a game and a half behind the Cardinals, and nine to play. And they all mean something, obviously. We'll be back. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show on The Fan.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, after a Brewers victory, third consecutive victory, a 5-0 shutout win over the Royals to take game two of this three-game set. And the Chevy MVB of the ball game, brought to you by Chevy. Check out the 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Corbin Burnes, guy's been outstanding. And it is pretty amazing journey that he's been on since 2018, really, where he was outstanding out of the pen. Last year struggles for a number of reasons and takes care of his business, comes back and does this. .177 earned run average, 4-0 mark, 11 appearances, 8 of those starts. We'll hit the great Midwest Bank hotline and welcome in Adam McAlvey from MLB.com and Brewers.com. It truly is, Adam, an amazing story for Corbin Burnes, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, we're not supposed to say what vote we have as BBWAA scribes, but I think I can say I don't have Cy Young. And I mean, honestly, maybe I'm glad I don't, because it's a pretty tough choice between some of the guys that are in that race. And Corbin Burnes is right there. I mean, with these last five starts or so where he's been really unscored upon, I mean, he's at the top of the, he's tops now in wins above replacement, if that's your jam, ERA, strikeouts per nine, hits per nine. He has the lowest batting average again. He has the fifth best whip. And I think the most stunning number, I keep coming back to this one, is he is the second toughest to hit a home run again among nationally qualifiers. And when you think back to where he was last year and the home run ball last April when he broke in the Brewers rotation and it was home run derby, it's stunning to see him just totally turn that around and go from 17 home runs in 49 innings last year to one home run this season, including zero in his last 49 innings. And look, it's the cutter, it's being more mentally prepared after working with a guy all winter, it's, you know, the LASIK, it's probably all those things, but it's just the story of a guy putting it together.
It really is, and it's one of those cool stories that eventually I think the national guys are going to pick up on once you continue to write about that amazing story, the amazing turnaround. But there's still, I think we have to credit also the Brewers organization for sticking with him to know that foundation of talent that he had, and not to just sort of let him, you know, to trickle out into the sunset here. They stuck with this guy. I think deep down they had to really, really know what they had.
Well, I mean, it's again, it highlights the difference between being a coach, a manager, a GM that runs a baseball team, and being, you know, a fan who rides the highs and lows. Because the fans say Corbin Burnes is not a starter, he's no good, and he was bad last year. He just was bad. But there's more to it than that. And, you know, Craig Counsell said this again, and it'll be in my game story. This idea that development is not a straight line is something I think we all intuitively, it makes sense, because all of us in our own lives, like, none of us, as we get better at something in our lives, it's never a straight line. You know, you take great leaps and bounds sometimes, and then other times you suck. Whether you're out there on the golf course with your friends, or, you know, you're trying to finally, after 20 years, be a decent writer. And it's a reminder that, this, you know, life is not a straight line. Life can be ups and downs. And sometimes if you ride the ride long enough, there's a payoff at the end. And I think that's the way they feel like with Corbin Burnes. And we shouldn't say the end, because, look, he's got to stack it up, you know, start after start, year after year. You know, he's not Justin Verlander yet. He's not Zach Greinke. He's Max Scherzer. He wants to be those guys. And he's got a chance to be, because he's got the raw materials to do it. But the thing for those guys is they do it year after year. And the trick for Burnes, Woodruff, Hauser's in this same position this year. You got to do it over time in order to be really great. But this season, Corbin Burnes has been great.
Yeah, and I think we all, I agree with you. I cringe anytime I run across, you know, me in 1991 introducing Paula Abdul records, you know, and it's like,
oh,
it's like, wow. Yeah,
my first concert was Paula Abdul and Color Me Bad at the Bradley Center.
I was at that show. I took a bunch of listeners to that show. I sure did.
Featuring MC Scat Cat.
Oh, my goodness. All right, now we get to Devin Williams, and just an amazing run in itself. Sam, our producer tonight, Adam, had told me that he does qualify for Rookie of the Year. Is it possible that he's Rookie of the Year, and possibly the Trevor Hoffman Award stays in a Brewers uniform?
Well, that's really interesting. I would say the second is more in the realm of possibility. I think what he's going to run into with Rookie of the Year is, you know, I have these votes too, because I voted for MVP a bunch of years. I've had Rookie of the Year, and it's kind of like, all things being equal, you give it to a position player because the guy plays every day. And when you talk about relievers, you're talking, even the guys who pitch a lot, you're talking about participating in such a small slice, really, of this big long season. And he's going to run into a problem with, what is it? Is it Jake Cronenworth from San Diego? The problem without seeing teams this year is I don't know who anybody is outside of my own eyeballs. But the infielder for the Padres is having a really nice year. Jake Cronenworth, slash line going into today's 311, 372, 534. You know, he's played in 46 games. That's a nice year. He's a win-and-a-half player. You know, he's probably the guy that's going to get most of the votes. But Devin Williams is going to be in there, and it doesn't take away from the fact that he's been really good and really important, because it can't just be Josh Hader. It needs to be multiple guys, and he's emerged as kind of the number two behind Hader. So great year, and maybe he'll, you know, get some votes and get enough that he does win that.
Yeah, and I like the situation they're in, although I would have loved to have seen them not use Rasmussen tonight. I'm a big Rasmussen guy. But with Rasmussen, Williams, and Hader down the stretch here, I think they're in good shape. Just two more things to get to. One, you mentioned the not straight line on this maturation process, what Counsell was identifying today. Are we going through that with Adrian Hauser, yesterday's starter? And maybe this is that step back before you kind of graduate to take the bigger step forward?
Well, that's what they hope, because, again, the stuff is there. Like, it, and he showed it at the end of last season, where he got into the rotation and got a chance to start consistently and was pretty solid. And I think, now I haven't looked after this start, but I think he still has the highest ground ball rate in the big leagues. Correct me if I'm wrong. you know, that's a good thing. If you're a sinker ball guy and you're going to try to do it by keeping the ball on the ground at Miller Park, where a ball in the air can be trouble, that's a good place to be. But the way Council has put it, I think, a couple of times, is there's going to be this moment in the game where, like, that turning point, and you know it as the guy steps to the plate. And Hauser, it feels like, has lost too many of those battles in games. And the big inning has bit him in games. And then part of it for a ground ball guy can just be, like, luck. And luck is a big part of baseball, mm-hmm. whether you want to admit that or not. And when you're a ground ball guy, you know, Brett Anderson goes through this in his career. You can have games where just the ball finds holes. And
yeah, I think Council called it misfortune.
Sure, and I think that makes sense to me. And mm-hmm. you know, Brett Anderson, I think, is a good example. He's a guy who can go out there and give up 12 hits in a game, and not throw the ball all that bad. It's just that the ground balls are where guys ain't, and you have to Hauser has a little swing and miss. I mean, he's not just throwing junk up there and letting guys put it in play. So it's an oversimplification, but when you're a guy that does allow a lot of ground balls in play, there are going to be nights where it's just luck is not on your side. And I don't know. That's been part of it, I think, for him too. But, you know, he can pitch better than he's pitched. And, you know, if Burns is the guide, I think Brandon Woodruff is a guide a couple of years ago too. There's a step forward in there for Adrian Hauser. And the experience of the season and taking some of these lumps can be something, if he uses it in the right way, that can help him in the future. But in the present, when you're playing for a team that's, you know, every win is a big deal, it can be frustrating, and it can be hard on everybody when the results aren't there.
Final thing for Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. We get to Ryan Braun, and just in talking the last hour or so with some callers, I've been trying to explain to them that September relevant baseball in Milwaukee is such a good thing. I mean, it's just, we got to remember the 26-year drought, and we got to remember, you know, at July's 31st trade deadline, we're already thinking Packers football and things like that. Since 2017, every game but one has mattered, and it's now reaching the end of 4 years of that. Now, again, shortened season this year. But Brawny, just there's something about him, the legacy that he may leave behind with some of these guys, Adam, as to how to focus, how to play the game down the stretch in these games. I think we can't discount that as well, if indeed we're seeing the last of Ryan Braun here in 2020. My gut tells me just everything I'm hearing from him personally, and maybe little tidbits we read into things that's what we do in sports talk. My gut tells me, Adam, that he's going to hang him up. The sad part is he doesn't get to leave a full Miller Park crowd. It really is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, Tim, I kind of feel the same way, and I have no inside info from him because I don't get to see him. Anytime we see him, it's on Zoom and, you know, or texting about something, but you're not going to get, you don't get the same nuance from a guy when it's on those venues. But I'm with you. I think he's, I don't know. It feels like maybe this is it. Just the fact that he acknowledges that stuff and doesn't brush mm-hmm. it aside makes me think he's thinking about it. And, you know, he drives you crazy if you're a fan because the injuries, the back. I mean, people with the bad back, I doubt, are giving Ryan Braun as hard a time as the people who don't know what that's like. I grew
okay,
up
good
with
point.
My parents, who I love very much. My mom, you know, she'd wake up one day and, you know, she couldn't move. And I know what it's like. Now, she is, you know, my mom, he's a Major League Baseball player. He when he's healthy enough to swing a bat, he is really dangerous. He loves these moments. He loves being the guy with a bat in his hand. That is not a given in baseball. Some guys just want to put up their numbers and call it a day. I legitimately believe he wants to be the guy up there with the game on the line, and he's delivered some big moments, and he's doing it here again. The homer tonight was huge because, as you said, they don't have to use Josh Hader. That plays into tomorrow or potentially plays into Monday in Cincinnati where they have a huge game. So he continues to deliver in these sort of marquee moments. But look, he wakes up someday. He might wake up tomorrow and he can't move. And if he can't move like he couldn't two nights ago, and he can't throw a ball into second base, he can't play. I mean, it's not that he doesn't want to. It's not that because he's overpaid. It's just he can't do it. He physically can't do it. And the Brewers just have to, at this point, live with the fact that it's kind of day-to-day with him. And he got himself in there today, and he got a big hit.
Man, it is something, the clutch gene of Ryan Braun over his career. It really is amazing. The bravado, the swagger that he has, there's no doubt, in my opinion, he wants to be there. If there's anybody on that bench that wants to be up there with the game on the line, it is Ryan Braun. It's amazing. I feel pretty lucky to have followed his career throughout the decade and a half of him being in Milwaukee. It's been really, really cool. Ups and downs, Adam. Don't get me wrong. It's been both, but very entertaining. Adam McKelvey.
No, I mean, the legacy is complicated. The performance is the performance. The hits are the hits. The homers are the homers. And at this point, you know, everyone has to decide for themselves how they weigh it all. But again, when he's healthy with a bat in his hand, he can perform.
Yeah, he is. He's been outstanding. Adam, I appreciate the time. Nice conversation, as always.
All right, see ya.
All right, there he is, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Is your passion outgrowing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the current electric spark of the game during today's game on The Fan. Go to callcurrent.com for your superhero electricians.
5-0, Brewers get the victory. Spark of the game was rolling the ball out to the mound. Corbin picks it up and goes 6 scoreless. That sparked up a Brewers victory with Call Current. Current Electric, call current.com for your electrician superheroes. Squeeze in before we get to Craig Council. We'll hear from, who else are we going to hear from here tonight, Sam?
Tonight we got Corbin Burns and Jacob Nottingham.
Well, we're definitely going to get to Burns. I don't know if we'll have room for Nottingham, but definitely Burns and Council on the other side here. Let me get in Bill from Iron River. Bill, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Tim. I'm sitting here, just opened up a Guinness because I'm celebrating here.
Atta baby.
This was a great game. I think we've got a lot to look forward to, but I did want to mention, I understand you wanting to talk about Burns for sure. Devin Williams is phenomenal, and Ryan Braun, Mr. September, wouldn't you say?
Oh, man, it's just amazing.
But I think we've got a deja vu going on here with Jacob Nottingham, because I remember when Jonathan Lucroy came up because of an injury. So now I'm sitting here thinking, who's going to be the backup next year? Is it going to be Narvaez or Manny Pena? Because I think Nottingham's our catcher of the future.
It's a great question. All right, Bill, always a pleasure. Enjoy that Guinness. More on that coming up in a bit, I guess, because the catching situation is a little complex for the Brewers organization right now, and the improvement that Jacob Nottingham has made here in a pretty fair amount of time, maybe short amount of time. If there is a most improved award, a lot of people laugh at that award. If you're on your, you know, high school team or whatever, you get the most improved player. It's always this throwaway, this sometimes looked at as almost laughed at kind of award. No, that's legit here with Jacob Nottingham. Man, his improvement behind the plate and the clutch hits that he's come up with as of late. That's what I was talking about with Braun sort of passing the torch into this, how you play down the stretch, how you play in big games, how you play, how you look at things mentally in big moments. I think that may be transferred over to some players, and maybe it's Jacob Nottingham picking that up from Braun. Never know, but he has definitely improved without question. It is the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers get a Game 2 victory over the Royals. We check that box. Game 2 goes to the Crew. 5-0, and now they go after the sweep, and boy, could they use it heading into their final week of baseball. Craig Council next here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
Craig, I just asked Jacob how rewarding it is for him as a catcher to see Corbin take this step, because he was with him some last year, probably down at AAA. For a manager to continue to see a guy move forward in his career, is it kind of rewarding for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a great lesson for all of us about how players develop, and that it's not the same for everybody, and it's not always like a nice linear path. You know, there can be big struggles before success. And, you know, because it's and the player has kind of a choice when he gets faced with the big struggles of what is it going to look like, or how am I going to adjust? And this is, you know, a bit just a credit to Corbin on how he kind of chose to address everything, mental, physical, pitch selection. And he's, you know, I don't think some of the things needed big tweaks. I don't think any of them, frankly, needed big tweaks, but obviously they've made a huge difference.
Craig, on a night when you used Devin for two innings, how big was Bronny's homer so that you could sit Hader down and, you know, not have to use both high leverage guys? And while we're talking about Bronny, I mean, you know, here's a guy with a bad back with a 3-run homer. I mean, he just keeps doing it.
Yeah, I mean, those add-on runs are always big. I mean, I think we're in good shape, you know, with Freddie and Brent available tomorrow. So we got plenty of guys to be available tomorrow to you know, pitch a 9-inning game. So, but yeah, so we're in good shape. And then I think, you know, what Bronny is doing right now is really special. It really is. You know, that it's incredible. You know, he's had the biggest hits seemingly nightly, is the biggest hits have been off his bat in the series. So it's been fun to watch, and he's doing a heck of a job.
Craig, what kind of test did he have to pass today? Or was it just a matter of him going out there trying to get loose and telling you he was good to go?
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, he didn't do much before the game, really. We just worked on having him how he felt. And so, you know, he thought he could go. He thought he was feeling a little bit better, actually, than yesterday even. So, you know, that was basically it.
Craig, do you continue to have more confidence in Rasmussen just the more that you see him out there?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I would say Drew's, you know, quietly kind of having has been really, really fun to watch. And I think he's gained confidence. I think we all see that. But he's pitching well. I mean, and then the other thing is you see the hitter's reactions to his fastball. And it's pretty noticeable it gets on him. It's that, you know, he's mixing in his breaking ball at really appropriate times. Catchers are doing a really nice job of that. But he's definitely becoming someone we're going to lean on.
Craig, we were talking before the game about, you know, stringing wins 3 in a row. It's been hard to do for the team this year, but couldn't be at a better time. You know, and now you win tomorrow, and like you said, these games this weekend are huge going into that final week, aren't they?
I mean, the way that this in the playoffs are structured, it's just keep adding up wins, and then you're going to put yourself in a little better position. And there's so many, you're bunched up with all these teams, and, you know, there's going to be some teams win, some teams lose every night, but you're just bunched, you know, it gives you a little space with another team one night. So it's cliche, it's simple, but you win games and you're going to feel pretty good about your chances. And we got to keep doing it. We got to have a good nine games. And I think it's, from that perspective, it's, you know, you feel like you control a lot of it. You don't necessarily have to worry about other people. You just, we're close enough, or we're right there. So, and with the teams we play, you know, we win games, and it's going to mean good things.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, as Craig Counsell just stated right there. You get wins and just see what happens. The Brewers at the moment a half game behind Cincinnati for third place, a game and a half behind the St. Louis Cardinals for second place. That second place is significant because you get in by just ending up in second place in your division. In the wild card situation, they are now tied with the San Francisco Giants and Cincinnati Reds. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct. And some news for the Giants. Mike Yastrzemski is currently dealing with – not Mike Yastrzemski. Yastrzemski for the Giants is dealing with –
yeah,
the,
I believe it's Mike. Yeah.
Thinking of his grandpa. But he is dealing with a hamstring injury, something to monitor.
Okay, it is. And, you know, I'm not sure, and I got to be honest, I'll just admit – I have not studied the tiebreaker situation for the wild cards. I mean, with the sideways season, I mean, I just haven't gotten into that. Maybe I'll do a little digging tonight and have a little information for you tomorrow on the On Deck show. But Brewers right in the thick of things, 9 games left. This win, big. They're all big. 25 and 26 after the win. Let's check out some of the numbers tonight. A guy that is about ready to break out a little bit. I look for Avisail Garcia to have an impact on one of these games really soon. Just law of averages say that he's going to impact a game. But tonight, not so much. 0-for-4 in the game. Christian Yelich goes 0-for-2 with a couple of walks and a run scored. Ryan Braun, 1-for-4, 3 RBIs and that run scored. Jed Jerko goes 1-for-3 with a walk. Keston Hira, 0-for-3. Tyrone Taylor, 0-for-3. Orlando Arcia, 1-for-3 with a run scored. Luis Urias, 0-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. Jacob Nottingham goes 1-for-2, an RBI, a run scored, and a walk as well. Now the pitching lines tonight. Corbin Burns, outstanding, 6 full, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, and 9 strikeouts in 100 pitches exactly. ERA now sits at 1.77 with that 4-0 mark. Devin Williams, 2 innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, and 4 punch-outs. Drew Rasmussen, no hits, no runs, no walks, and a pair of strikeouts. Brewers get 5 runs on 4 hits, 1 error. The Royals, no runs on 4 hits with 2 errors. The win goes to Burns. As I said, he's 4-0. Lost to Bubic. He is now 1-6 on the season. Brewers overall, 25-26. Corbin Burns, you know, you listen to him talk, and he's just kind of this mellow, kind of a chill guy. Get him on a mound, pretty intense competitor. We're going to hear from Corbin Burns after this performance next. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
All right, final couple of minutes here, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Sam Schmitz, will bring him in on the scoreboard side of things. There's a pitcher, and we'll get to that in a second. There's a retirement as manager. We'll get to that in a second. But let's bounce around, especially in the Central here. What were the scores with the Cards and the Reds and the Cubs?
All right, let's start in Pittsburgh. The Cardinals win their 5-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates after taking a 3-1 lead in the series with tonight's win. Final score of tonight's game, 5-4, St. Louis. Pirates rookie pitcher Mitch Keller pitched 6 hitless innings, allowing no runs, striking out 6 batters, and allowed 2 walks. Unfortunately for Keller, the Cardinals would get to the Pirates' bullpen via all small ball runs. St. Louis now moves to 25-24. Pittsburgh slides to 15-37. They will conclude this 5-game series tomorrow.
Yeah, and we know about those pesky Cardinal hitters, man. The 2-out, 2-strike RBIs that they got in the 5-game set here earlier this week. Those are backbreakers, man. You got to find a way to finish them off in a sequence.
Yeah, and rookie Dylan Carlson, who got sent down less than a week ago, just got called back up, and go figure, he's all of a sudden supernova again. So In Cincinnati, the White Sox shut out the Reds tonight, 5-0 the final. Tim Anderson, Omar Mazzara, Jose Abreu, and Yasmani Grandal all going yard for the White Sox tonight. That's home run number 7 for Yaz this year. And for Abreu, he's up to 18 home runs this season. He is now second in the home run race, 2 behind Luke Voit of the Yankees.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this, Sam, on that Chicago White Sox team, they're my second favorite team, by the way, in baseball, but they are a dangerous team to face right now.
Yeah.
They really are. They could have a deep run in that AL.
I mean, like 1-8, 1-9 in their lineup is just so lethal. And on top of that, you're getting contributions. We were talking off air about Dallas Keuchel, who is just pitching amazing for him this year. Really good signing for him.
Outstanding. Just over a 2 ERA. It's just been amazing.
All right. So on the Reds side, other NL Cy Young candidate, we kind of alluded to it before in the show. Trevor Bauer lost tonight. He is now 4-4 this season with an ERA of 1.8.
So you have the 1.8 against Burns 1.77. Adam McAlvey nutshelled all the boxes, statistical boxes that you could check that Corbin Burns is ahead of Bauer on. And, you know, the one thing is, if you're looking at just those two, and then there may be more in the Cy Young race, if you look at those two, I think Bauer has obviously the most recognized name that may play a part. However, is he the most liked name amongst the voters that would vote for Cy Young? Maybe not.
You know, I don't know about voters, but I'm sure Rob Manfred would probably have a say or two if he did get, you know, a couple final place votes and all that. But I think Yu Darvish is right around the 1.86 ERA as well. So it's just coming down the wire.
He's right there, too, in the success of the Chicago Cubs thus far. That may have a big impact. That may be one of the bigger factors in this.
For sure. So to kind of conclude this game, the Reds are now 26-27. They will play the rubber match of this 3-game series tomorrow as the series is split. Elsewhere in Chicago, the Twins beat the Cubs tonight. 8-1 was the final. Josh Donaldson, Miguel Sano, and Eddie Rosario all going yard tonight for the Twins. Go figure, Tim. Alec Mills gets the loss for the Cubs tonight. He is now 5-4.
You can't make it up. No, you can't write that stuff. You know, it's about time the White Sox and the Minnesota Twins helped out the Brewers. They're pretty challenging teams, as we saw, as the Brewers faced both of those teams. So the White Sox finally help out with a win over the Reds, then the Twins get the Cubs. That's good news.
There we go. Chicago's now 31-21. Both teams will also play their rubber match of this 3-game series tomorrow. So to conclude the NL Central, with that all being said, the Brewers now 25-26. 6 games behind the Cubs, currently tied at the Reds despite being a half game behind, and currently 1 game behind the St. Louis Cardinals. And in the wild card standings, they are also tied with the Cincinnati Reds and the San Francisco Giants for that 8th spot. Now, some other MLB news around the league. We had longtime Twins manager and current Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire. He unfortunately did retire today abruptly just due to health concerns, and it just sounds like it was fatigue for him more than anything. It wasn't really health conditions and stuff like that.
Yeah, and maybe more details will come out on that, but it doesn't sound like it's anything COVID-related or anything like that. I just think it's, you know, hey, you know, sometimes you know when.
Yeah.
And I think Gardenhire probably he got to that point, and he just said, hey, life is more important. We heard Pat Murphy say that yesterday, that, you know, sometimes it's just about, you know, life in general more than just a baseball thing.
And to finally put a bow on this tonight, we talked about it probably in like the second or third game of the season. Justin Verlander came out in the beginning of the season that he was probably going to miss the end of the season due to a forearm injury. And he said, no, I'm good. I'll come back. Well, go figure, today news comes out that Verlander will indeed need Tommy John surgery. And as of course, he'll be out for the rest of the year.
You know, and that, I thought he was a little unfair to the media. He got on the media a little bit about that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that could, that's false information, or it's fake news, or whatever he called it. I thought that might have been a little unfair. As it turned out, the media reports took a while, but they were right. As he's going down to TJ, he also said that he's got a lot of things to accomplish in his career, and set some goals for himself that, now he wants to get the surgery done and then do some additional things here. So We haven't heard the last of Justin Verlander, that's for sure. All right, that's going to do it for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. We'll get you on deck for Game 3 tomorrow. That's a 1:10 first pitch. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show. That's at noon. I will talk to you guys at 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's week 2 in the NFL already. Week 2 in your fantasy football matchup. Been doing that show for 14 years as well. As we'll get you ready with Fantasy Football Weekly, served up by West Bend Sausage Plus from 10 to noon tomorrow. You got some questions. A bunch of receiver injuries. A bunch of receiver outs, if you will. Inactives already. The Chris Godwins and Jameson Crowders and some tight ends out. Kittle and Jack Doyle. I mean,
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge one. So A.J. Brown is another guy. He will not play tomorrow as well. So we'll make heads or tails, get you all ready to get a lineup in with some confidence. Keller against Lindblom tomorrow. Lindblom with that 5.2 ERA against Keller's just over 2 ERA. So the Brewers' offense has their hands full tomorrow. Hey, just get a win. Find out some way. Lindblom, his last performance, 5 scoreless against the St. Louis Cardinals. For Sam Schmitz, want to thank Adam McKelvey for joining us tonight. My name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the victory. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, and we'll see you tomorrow. And as always, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.